Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. All right, so today I want to look at this passage from a different angle. All right, we usually talk about our faith in God and how to overcome our doubts, especially on this day of Thomas Sunday. But I want to talk about a harder endeavor than having faith in God. And you might be wondering, what's tougher than eliminating our doubts and increasing our faith in God? And by that I mean having faith in one another, having faith in humanity, having faith in the goodness of people. All right, so I feel like this is a lot harder to do than having faith in God, because God is perfect. God doesn't let us down. God doesn't betray us. Right? We can put our faith in Him, knowing that even if He doesn't respond to us right away, even if we have to wait, even if He doesn't respond to us in the way that we're expecting Him to respond, we know that He loves us, He died for us, and that gives us a sense of security. And God doesn't make mistakes, right? But for us weak, frail people, we always make mistakes. We let each other down, we disappoint each other, we fall into the wrong path and we stray. And that makes it harder for us to actually trust one another and to have faith in the goodness of humanity. Now, before we continue along the same thought, we notice that throughout the scriptures, we're told not to really trust people, right? We're told not to put our hope in men, not even in princes, right? So how is it that we should have faith in humanity? Or why would I tell you to trust in the goodness of humanity, when so often in the scriptures we're told we shouldn't? Okay? Now, the more I meditated on this concept, the more I realized that God works in our lives through the people in our lives, right? And God refines us through their presence, and God supports us through their presence. And in a sense, we're given one another so that we can lean on one another. And you can't lean on someone you don't trust. You can't depend on someone that you have no faith in. And so in a sense, God designed us in a way of dependence, in a way of codependence as a humanity. All right? And so when we're talking about actually trusting each other and putting faith in humanity, what I'm saying is not that our salvation and our hope comes from people, right? So that's my first disclosure for you, that what I'm talking about is not a sense of having faith in our salvation, having faith in the hope of having solutions to our problems from people, but ultimately that comes from God, right? God is our one and only hope. Our faith is in Him and in Him alone. And ultimately, He's the one that resolves our troubles and comes to our aid, right? The second point of a disclosure that I want to share with you is that when I'm talking about having faith in humanity, it's that we should be willing to trust others. Not necessarily that having faith in humanity and trusting people is a blind act, okay? And it's not this sort of, oh, God created people in His image and everybody is good and I'm just going to follow whatever anybody says, right? But we have to have the willingness to trust others. We have to have the willingness to give people a chance to earn our trust, right? Otherwise, we'll always live a life of seclusion. We'll always paint a negative picture of people and we'll think of humanity in this dark sense of depravity. And that's what we see all too often today. We see this dark picture of humanity as a whole whenever we turn on the TV, whenever we hear about stories. It's just one bad story after the next, and then we start to restrict ourselves, we shut our doors and we say, I'm not going to let anybody in my life. I'm not going to trust anybody even to give me a cup of water because I don't know what might be in that water. So I'm not saying that our faith when it comes to our salvation should be in humanity, and I'm not saying that this is a blind act either. Okay, this is something that requires wisdom and something that's only a matter of willingness, only a matter of giving people a chance to earn our trust. All right, if you remember, there's a story of this man that was drowning at sea, and he's praying to God to save him. He's praying for God to come and deliver him from drowning at sea. And then a boat comes by and they ask him if he needs any help. Says, no, I'm praying God is going to come and save me. Okay? Boat passes by. Next boat comes and they shout out, hey, do you need any help? And he says, no, I'm praying God is going to come and save me. I'm praying he's going to come and save me. And then the third boat comes and they see him basically holding on for his dear life. And they ask him if he needs help. He says, no, God is going to come and save me. After all that, he dies because he was a man of faith. He goes to heaven, meets God. He says, I trusted in you. I lived my whole life trusting in you. What happened? Why didn't you save me? And God says, you fool, I sent you through three boats to come and save you. So, a lot of times, we differentiate our trust in God from our trust in the provisions that God gives us. And God gives us provisions, He gives us help, He gives us aid through the people in our life, right? Like in this story, God helped this man through a boat, right? But this man didn't trust this boat, right? He didn't know what they were going to do with him. And so, he ignored him. Now, I know that this is tough. This is tough because every time we turn on the news, every time we scroll through social media, we get nothing but the ugly side of life. We get nothing but the ugly side of people. We get nothing but the negativity and how this great person went down the wrong path all of a sudden, and this husband just kills his family even though he was a great husband his whole life, or this family's nanny turns out to be like a serial killer, or God knows what. And I think we've come to a point where we're like numb to it, right? We've come to a point where we hear all of these negative stories and we're like, yeah, that's just how people are, right? And it's causing us to have little to no trust in others. Like somebody knocks on your door, you won't even open the door to see who it is. You just look through the peephole and ask, what do you want? And that's it, right? I remember just recently we had a neighbor that moved right next door, and he's the nicest guy in the world, but you know, we don't know him, the first time that we met him, and he just comes and knocks on our door. And he says, hey, I'm going on a hike. You want to join me? I'm like, I actually would. I'm a little busy right now, but, you know, this is a little strange. It blew me away, right? And I see him, like, playing in the yard with his kids, and, you know, he's building, like, a treehouse in the back. And he's super friendly, just going out and interacting with people. Everybody in the neighborhood is probably like, what is this crazy guy that's, like, actually nice? And so we have those reservations because we always see the ugly side of humanity. And this is the work of the devil. It's not what God wants us to see. Right? God wants us to see the light in one another. And again, it doesn't mean that we put the hope of our salvation and the faith of our salvation in people. It doesn't mean that we trust people blindly either. But do we still realize that there is goodness in humanity? Do we still realize that everyone that we interact with is made in the image and likeness of God? Or is that what we really doubt? And I'm telling you, it's a lot easier to trust God than to trust people sometimes. And so our doubts in people are sometimes greater than our doubts in God. If you remember, a couple of decades before the Civil War, in 1861 to 1865, it was a very dark period, right? And during this time, there were these underground railroads where slaves from the South would travel through to the North to the free states, okay? Now, we all know of courageous men and women during this time that would actually help these slaves travel through these underground railroads to find freedom. You know, you've heard people like Harriet Tubman and how I think she went and made that trip like 19 times ever since she escaped to the North and helped hundreds of people escape. Right now, a lot of people would actually turn these slaves in whenever they would see them trying to escape. Right? Because if you were found helping somebody, you would go to jail, right? So it was a tough situation for the slaves, and it was a tough situation for the people that would quote-unquote help slaves, because people would actually pretend to help them when in fact they wouldn't want to get in trouble, so they would take these people, turn them in, they would avoid prison time, and they would get rid of these people. You know, there was a lot of racism and discrimination and hatred, and so a lot of these situations turned really ugly, okay? But imagine how you would feel trying to escape during this time, okay? Because you don't know anybody, right? And especially if you've been a slave your whole life and you have a clear idea of what a white guy is really all about, you go and you travel through these underground tunnels, and then you see a white guy trying to help you. Like, there's no way. Like, you know he's going to catch you, turn you in, and then you go back, what's going to happen to you when you're returned back to your slave owner? They're going to torture you, right? They're going to torture you if they even let you live. Right? So it's better not even trying to escape. But the irony here is that these slaves would actually trust these people going to help them. And many of them were actually white men and women. This was the irony. And there are famous men and women like Thomas Garrett or Isaac Hopper. Thomas Garrett actually helped 2,750 slaves travel through these underground railroads. And every one of these men and women escaping would have to take a leap of trust, right? And whether it goes well or not, you see that in the midst of all of this darkness, in the midst of all this evil, there was a speck of light, right? Nobody talks about this stuff. And it's not to ignore the evil. It's not to pretend like there's nothing wrong in the world. It's not to pretend like people are perfect and there is nothing wrong with people. But it's to look at the light that's shining in the midst of the darkness. And because without this light, we would fall into despair and we would never lean on each other. I know this is an extreme example. I know this is something a little radical, right? But if these people did not trust each other, they would have never found freedom, right? Gandhi says, "You must not lose faith in humanity. Humanity is an ocean. If a few drops of the ocean are dirty, the ocean does not become dirty." Can I repeat that one more time? You must not lose faith in humanity. Humanity is an ocean. If a few drops of the ocean are dirty, the ocean does not become dirty. So again, I'm not trying to stand up here and pretend like there's nothing wrong with humanity and there are no bad men and women out there, right? But humanity as a whole is wired for good. Whether you see it on the news or not, that's the truth. Humanity is made to be good. And yes, we have strayed from the goodness we were created to have, But even Gandhi, a person who didn't believe men and women were created in the image and likeness of God, recognized this. Now, putting this a little bit more practically, we gotta be wise, right? We need wisdom in trusting one another and putting our faith in humanity, right? Like I told you, it's not something that we do blindly. It's something that we need wisdom to actually do, okay? If you've been mistreated before, if somebody broke your trust before, you're not just gonna say, okay, I'm gonna trust you next time, like no problem. Right? If there's a stranger, somebody says, hey, just come with me in the car, I'm gonna, you know, give you $1 million. That already sounds a little fishy. Well, you know, you're not gonna just go about this without wisdom. Okay? Trust in one another is a simple practical application. It's about willingness. It's about our starting point. Whenever we meet somebody new, where is my starting point, right? Do I begin with a willingness to give you a chance? And I think that's the heart of the matter right there. Do I begin with a willingness to give you a chance to earn my trust? Or are we gonna meet and there's no chance? I know that there's a lot of terrible stuff that happens and I see it all over the news, I'm not even gonna give this guy a chance, right? Remember when David was mistreated by Saul, and Saul was hunting him, right? The first time, David cut a piece of his robe and told him, look, I could have killed you if I wanted. Saul apologized and he said, okay, I'll give you another chance. But then Saul didn't stop. He pursued him again. And then the second time, David went into the cave, grabbed his spear and a water pot, and he said, look, I could have killed you again while you were sleeping. So Saul apologizes a second time. But David doesn't take the second apology, even though he forgives him. He goes to the land of the Philistines and he says, Saul is not going to stop pursuing me. So you know that phrase, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Right? So again, there is wisdom in this. So that's my disclosure. I'm not telling you to just go around like an open book, trusting whoever and whenever and however. But there is a goodness in humanity that the devil wants us to doubt, right? And the Christian never loses this faith. A Christian never loses faith in humanity. So I'll leave you with this final story, okay? And this is just to make it as practical as possible. And we can start with just having faith in the people within our circle, the people that we know. We could start by giving the people that we know a chance to earn our trust, like our family and our friends, especially our parents. Like, I can't believe how many children don't actually trust their parents, right? And it's typically during the rebellious teenage years or earlier than that. But we need to trust our parents, the servants, the elders in the church. And we can start in that way. Right? Remember the story of Ruth and Naomi. Naomi was with her husband, I think his name is Elimelech, and I don't remember the name of her two sons, but there was a famine in Bethlehem, and so they went to Moab, and then her husband died, her two sons found two other wives. Remember all this, right? Yeah? No? And then the other two sons died as well. Naomi was left with her two daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah. So Naomi tells her two daughters-in-law, there's nothing left for you here. Your husband's died. I'm going to go back to Bethlehem. You stay here and find yourself another husband. Orpah says, okay, fine. I'm not following you. I don't know what you're going to do going back to Bethlehem. Like, I don't trust this path. I'm going on my own path. Ruth, on the other hand, responded in the most beautiful way, even though Naomi was pleading for her to stay in Moab. So she says, Do not ask me to leave you or turn back from following you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." She put her trust in Naomi. Because she saw the goodness in Naomi. She saw that she was a good person. She saw the light in Naomi. She saw her love. And so she trusted that. She earned that trust. Now, we know what happened as a product of this little bit of trust. Right? She goes, heads back with Naomi. She meets Boaz. Boaz is this charming guy. They fall in love. They have Obed. And you know who Obed is, right? He's the grandfather of David. David, who is the grandfather of Christ himself. So she becomes among the lineage of Christ, a Gentile, all because she saw the goodness in her mother-in-law and decided to trust her and to follow her. So this is what I want to leave you with. Just this idea of giving one another a chance, giving one another an opportunity to earn each other's trust and to recognize the goodness in people, to have faith in the goodness in humanity, a humanity that is not really what the media paints it to be. It's not really what the news says it is. Humanity that's actually good. And I hope one day there will be just a news channel that shows good stuff. That's wishful thinking, but maybe I put some faith in that. May God give us the faith and the grace to trust in Him and one another, that His name may be glorified in all things. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.